Hello, welcome back to Daily Philosophy, to the Accented Philosophy podcast. And in this series, we talk about how to apply philosophy to our everyday lives. And just now, we are talking about Aristotle. If you missed the beginning, perhaps you want to go back a few episodes and listen to those first. This is the next episode in a year-long philosophy experiment where we try out 6 different philosophies of life and see how they work out for us. These first 2 months, we will try to live according to the advice of the ancient Greek philosopher Aristotle. Last time, we talked about how to choose the right goals in life, and today, we'll talk a bit about choosing the right goals at work. So, let's dive in. For some of the ancients, life was a bit easier than it is today for us. In ancient Athens, the mother city of democracy, there were around 4 slaves to each 1 citizen, and only the poorest could not afford even 1 slave. So for a citizen like Aristotle, much of the day was taken up by exercising. The Greeks were great at sports, hence the word gymnasium, which comes from Greek gymnos, meaning naked, because they exercised that way. If they were not exercising or washing off sweat, they were mostly socializing, making acquaintances and business deals, overseeing their slaves, working in the public administration, creating artworks of craft and engineering, or preparing for the evening's fun, which could involve hours-long dinners like the one described by Plato in the Symposium. Still, they already had to deal with a question about the ultimate purpose of one's life and work. The philosopher Epicurus, who lived from 341 to 270 BC, whom we will meet later on in the series, says clearly in his Doctrines, "No pleasure is in itself evil, but the things which produce certain pleasures entail annoyances many times greater than the pleasures themselves." As we saw last time, Aristotle also distinguishes between goals that are worthy of being pursued and those that are not. And this is because, in Epicurus' words, some goals cause annoyances that are greater than the pleasure they bring. We talked last time about the example of an expensive sports car. Not only would such a car require me to work for many years in order to be able to afford it, but then I would also always have to be afraid that it might get stolen, scratched, damaged in accidents, and so on. In the end, if we look at the total amounts of happiness versus unhappiness caused by the car, the work and stress involved in having such a car cannot be outweighed by the few minutes of pleasure that it will give me every time I drive it. For Aristotle, then, the point of being wise, or a person of phronesis, as he says, is to be able precisely to judge correctly that the ownership of such a car is not a goal that is worth pursuing. But this does not happen only in regard to luxury articles. In our world, we make such judgments about the worth of what we are after every day, and especially at work. Perhaps most of us would say that it is important to us to advance in our careers, to steadily climb the ladder up towards a higher salary and more responsibilities at work. But if the ultimate goal of life is happiness, as Aristotle believes, then we must ask whether such a focus on one's career advancement is really rational. Because, think about it, when are we happier? When we are in a relatively low-paid, low-responsibility position, where we can work without killing ourselves for a few hours every day, and then go home and have a lot of time with our families, read books, go to the park, and enjoy life. Or when we are stuck in the office for 10 or 12 hours a day in a job where we constantly operate at the limits of our abilities, because this is in the end what constant advancement means. Earning a lot of money but being chronically unable to spend any of it in order to really improve our lives and to make them happier. only to realize years later that we have entirely missed our kids' childhoods and that our home is now populated by a bunch of strangers. Of course, all this is a cliché, but like every cliché, it is based on a deep truth. Look at Scrooge in The Christmas Carol, Phil Connors in Groundhog Day, or the Harrison Ford character in Regarding Henry. These are extremes, of course, but some of that fear of missing out on a career is in every one of us and often destroys our lives. In Aristotle's words, the point of wisdom is to know how much a particular goal in life is really worth. And that worth is measured in whether the goal helps us achieve true happiness or, as Aristotle calls it, eudaimonia. There are conceivably situations in which following a manic work schedule might be the way to true happiness. One could imagine a scientist, for example, pursuing a series of experiments that will lead to a cure for cancer. In this case, we might believe that even extreme daily working times might actually contribute to this person's happiness, especially if they don't have friends and family, and if finding this cure is all that gives content and meaning to their lives. But even so, does this seem to be a recipe for happiness in life? Hardly. For most of us, working overtime is not a decision driven by a deep personal urge to save humanity from cancer. More often, it's something we do because everyone else does it, or because we are afraid of falling back compared to our peers, of ending up with a smaller house, an older car, or a less shiny wedding party. But will these things really make us less happy, all things considered? There is an interesting Wikipedia page devoted to the Japanese concept of death by overwork. But irrational decisions regarding work are, of course, not limited to the Japanese. Richard Easterly, an American economist, writes, "Life events, such as marriage, divorce, and serious disability or disease, do have lasting effects on happiness. Contrary to economic theory, more money does not make people happier." This is from the article Economics of Happiness on page 27 and 32. Easterling goes on to cite a survey by sociologist Norval Glenn. Americans were asked about the likelihood of their taking a more highly rewarding job that would take away family time because it would require both more hours at the office and more time on the road. Out of four response options, not one of the 1,200 respondents said it was very unlikely he or she would take the job. And only about one in three said it was somewhat unlikely. The large majority of respondents said it was either very likely or somewhat likely that they would take the job. Easterlin writes, "Most Americans, it would seem, would readily sacrifice family life for what they think will be greater rewards from their working life, not knowing that these rewards are likely to be illusory." This is again from Economics of Happiness, page 32. Now back to our own lives. Based on these thoughts and insights that span the whole of Western thought, from Aristotle and ancient philosophy to Easterlin and modern economics, we can try to re-evaluate our own priorities at work. If you want to play along and try out what we learn in this series, in this week take some time to look at your career from a somewhat more detached perspective. Take a step back from the day-to-day fight for survival in the workplace and ask yourself, is the work that you are doing really what will, in the long run, make sure that you achieve the most happiness in life? Every one of us will have their own answer to that question. It is only important that one is honest with oneself. Because happiness is not only a matter of money or power. As countless works of both philosophy and literature have tried to point out, money alone does not make happy. What does make us happy are the enjoyment of simple pleasures, like a healthy body, fresh air, swimming in the sea, having a good meal, watching a beautiful sunrise, reading a good book, and having a happy family and supportive good friends one can depend on. None of these things can be obtained by overworking oneself, and in most cases excessive work stands in the way of achieving a life that is balanced and truly happy. Thank you for listening. I will be back next Tuesday with the next episode in our exploration for Aristotle and how his philosophy can help us improve our lives today. Bye-bye.